Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 669. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox Penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat, is down on the floor trying to get some sunbathing in, and he seems a little anxious. He's been meowing and whatnot. I'm recording this one really late. Not at night, but day-wise. I was hoping to have gotten it done maybe Friday the 13th, where I missed it. And it's now Sunday. I was way too tired Friday night from working. And yesterday, Saturday, the day I normally record on, I ran 13.1 miles. Had too much wine afterwards. It was a wine run. And, friends from work wanted to do stuff after that. So, I didn't do any more drinking. But, it was a long day that I didn't end up having enough time to record this at a time I usually do. So, here I am now on Sunday, which is rare. It's rare that I record on a Sunday, but here I am on Father's Day, which I'm a cat dad, so I guess that's fun. I don't really celebrate. My father's been dead for decades. Update. Last week I was talking about the Marty McFly guitar. Of course, the Gibson ES-345, cherry red, 1959, I believe, Gibson ES-345. Went missing, of course. Just to clarify again, the original, from the original Back to the Future, as opposed to the second one, I think they know where that guitar is, but, they, of course, refilmed the scene from the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, which, of course, is where the Gibson ES-345 is, where Marty plays that. They filmed that scene again for its appearance in Back to the Future Part 2, and I believe they used several guitars. I don't know all the facts. Don't have that all on hand. I was talking about it last week, and I named the episode Lost in Time is what they're like calling it, and that should have been, tipped me off to the fact that people involved in the search for this thing might end up listening to this podcast. But I was like, they probably wouldn't listen to this. That's only about 100 people a month listen to this thing, and so titled the episode that last week, and I got an email from the Lost to the Future people over there. I guess I can go ahead and go over the email exchange I had gotten. This was Monday, I guess. Last Monday-ish? I don't know, June 9th, whatever the day that was. It says, "Hey guys, thanks so much for talking about our hunt for the Back to the Future guitar. I'm the director of the documentary, and I have been working on this project quietly for the last 6 years. I just wanted to write in to clarify the countdown to Back to the Future Day, which this year will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the movie. We, of course, are hoping to find the guitar by then and then sign off as Doc." I guess that's to say that this is the guy that's the director of the documentary, but he's signing off as Doc. I imagine the Doc is like Doc Brown is the sign off. But I don't know who the actual director of this documentary is. I guess I could maybe figure out through a Google search, but the Lost to the Future website really doesn't have much info on that. And of course, that was the first email. And then I guess really listened to the episode, which I felt I was like, oh shit, I didn't realize anybody involved with this project was going to, again, listen to this. Though I knew that was a possibility, especially, you know, titling the episode that there was a possibility they would listen to it. I guess maybe part of me wanted them to listen to it. You know, I did go on a tangent about Mr. Musk and one Donald Trump, which, of course, yesterday they had the big No Kings protest, which I didn't make it out to, again, because I will, you know, maybe I would have had I not spent all day at a winery. Shit happens. Anyway, turns out there was a lot, you know, several million at least, the people that showed up, USA wide. Anyway, so I guess a little while later, I get another email from the I'm assuming the same fellow there, the director, and it says, "Oh, just finished the episode. I can assure you, we do not know where the guitar is." Which again, I don't know if you listened to the whole thing, which. I don't know. I probably went on several tangents. And I do recall I was thinking about after I got these emails that I did go through, like, what if Marty McFly did fuck his mother when he went back in time? And if he impregnated him, would he still then exist? Then there is the issue, you know, Marty wasn't born for quite a few more years after. He was his family's youngest child. You know, he would have had to not just fuck her the once, but he would, I guess, had to continue on this relationship and fuck her many more times. Well, I guess you wouldn't have to fuck her many more times. Just, you know, that couple times to get those three kids. Anyway. So, yeah, they had... It is funny that... Again, I don't know that if you listened to the whole thing, maybe just tried to listen to the part where I was talking about the guitar, but it's not like I timestamped the thing and whatnot. But it says, just finished the episode. This email here, it says that, and then I can assure you we do not know where the guitar is, because I had said in the episode I had talked about, which it wasn't an idea that I had independently. I'm so online that I watch a lot of shit, especially about like Gibson and whatnot. And of course, people were talking about, I had already listened to, you know, several people to talk about this Lost to the Future. And, you know, it had seemed, because there was a high production value in this, basically, it seemed like a trailer to the documentary, which was just a promo video, I guess you'd say, to help try to get tips on the whereabouts of the Gibson ES-345. Very well produced, and the timer on the website was confusing, because there was no details to what that time, what would happen when that time went down to zero. Like, are they going to release a Gibson custom shop model of this ES-345? Did they already find this guitar? You know, it, not a whole lot of explanation. And sadly, I haven't seen... maybe it is out there somewhere. Definitely not on their website, but it doesn't state when the guitar was lost. Like the last known spotting of the guitar, which I feel like that would be good, solid information to know. I would think that they probably wouldn't just put the serial number of the guitar out there, since you know, they do have to, in the search for this thing, worry about counterfeits. And if people know the exact serial number of it, they could, you know, try to counterfeit it that way and throw that serial number on there. But anyway, back to the email. They said, I can assure you we don't know what the guitar is. I wish we did and understand the skepticism. The response to the announcement went better than we could have hoped or expected, and understand everyone's healthy skepticism with how polished the rollout seemed. That is due to the fact that we have literally been planning and preparing this for a very long time, because, again, he had said he had been searching for this quietly for like 6 years. Says we took the search as far as we could privately and then shifted focus to make sure we got the word out in the biggest way we were able. Thanks again, Doc. And I didn't actually read either email until I'd received both of those. They weren't too short. I was like trying to do some cleaning and whatnot. I replied back with, wow, I didn't expect anyone involved with the project to actually listen to my podcast, which, again, yeah, that is, we have like, about 100 different people listening to this podcast a month, which is not a lot as far as podcast terms, though, you know, of those 100, you never know, one could be someone that has information on this Gibson ES-345, the Cherry 1959 Gibson ES-345. It's possible. I go on to say, very few people listen to it. I look forward to seeing the doc. I love Michael J. Fox and Back to the Future. Well, that is, oh man, I love me some Michael J. Fox. I mean, I've seen so many movies, because Michael J. Fox was in it, and he's been in so many good movies. The Frighteners, the first Peter Jackson film that I recall. That might be his first American film. It's not his first film. I didn't quite finish the thought there. Of course, his first film was Bad Taste, and then he went on to do, I mean, his early films are classic in their own right, like Meet the Feebles. Was like, you know, a dark parody, if you will, of The Muppets. Quite the classic. But I want to say it was The Frighteners seemed, I believe, to be like at least his first like bigger budget film. If not like the first one he did with like in America. But like it's a great film. Michael J. Fox led film. And I mean, shit, there's just so many good. How do you not love Michael J. Fox? You're a monster if you don't. Anyway, I go on to say, I hope you find the guitar. I should have realized the countdown was for the 40-year anniversary. But yeah, again, there was no details showing that. And then I get another reply back to this. I've got news alerts set up, so whenever it's mentioned, I see the page and scour any and all comments for information that might help us. I mean, they are really searching every possibility. So, apparently he did listen to quite a bit. I'm assuming it's a he, I guess. Well, Doc, this could be a female. Again, I don't know who's like directing this person. that's awfully presumptuous of myself. Anyway, says, enjoy that blueberry burst. Those are killer, which I talked about. That was probably leaning on the side of getting, which honestly, I think even before I mentioned it on the podcast, I think I had already, because I was debating on whether to get it from Gibson's website or Sweetwater. I have a credit card already through Sweetwater, and that if you do their credit card, and then you can do the financing option to where you pay it off within 48 months or whatever the plan is, you can you don't have to pay any interest. So since I already had a credit card through Sweetwater, and it's paid off now. I figured I'd go that route instead of having, because I don't have a Gibson credit card. But yeah, I had already reserved one because they were out of stock, though I didn't actually order it per se. I didn't actually put in the information and actually order it, but I have one reserved, which I could go ahead and cancel. But let's be real. Yeah, I am going to I'm gonna have to buy it. And anyway, which I talked about that for a little while, the ES 340 or 335 Supreme, which I think actually they're considered maybe just ES Supremes, and that maybe the number's not part of it. Anywho, he or she replies with, enjoy that blueberry burst. Those are killer. I'm like, oh, fuck, now I can't cancel. I can't cancel the order. I feel like I got to go on now. It says, thanks for talking about it. The countdown thing is confusing. It's not just you. It creates a question that otherwise wouldn't be there, which isn't helpful. And that is the last email. I did not reply back to any of that. But I had been thinking about it a lot at work because, you know, my job doesn't require a lot of brain power. I'm just tack welding steel all day. And just got to make sure everything's in the right spot. And it's really just muscle memory. Muscle memory for the most part doing the job. So I have a lot of time to think. And I was thinking a lot about this guitar. And just the different kind of possibility. I mean, not knowing any of the details. Just knowing that it's missing. Not knowing when it went missing. Or like any details around the disappearance of it. I do believe the guitar again was loaned out via Norman's Rare Guitars in Tarzana, California, I believe is where that's they're located. Norm Harris, the owner of the shop, which again, great documentary on Norm's Rare Guitars on Netflix, and of course check out the Norman's Rare Guitars YouTube page, which has been going for shit, I don't know, maybe even up to like 20 years now. It's been at least like 15. I don't know. It's been out there for a long time. They do like a guitar of the day where they have like a vintage guitar of the day. It's like, you know, Norm's is like the most famous guitar shop in the world. And they have all kinds of people playing on their YouTube channel. Just people that stop into the store where they have like regulars. Some people that just work there and will demo these vintage guitars on their channel. And then you'll have some famous bands stop or musicians stop in and play a song or two. And you get that on the YouTube channel. And you get acts that you wouldn't have heard of otherwise that are some kind of local musician out in California, and that get really their first time to like shine. And there's some great players that I think Norm helped really get out there that were not known to the world. And yeah, it's just a great YouTube channel. But anyway, from what I understand, yeah, Norm rented out the guitar, which apparently he does for many movies, being a vintage guitar dealer out in California. You know, a lot of movies are shot out there. Imagine it's a good part of business. anyway, and also, you know, a good thing to get people into your guitar store, just at least LA film people, which they're probably, you know, might be musicians themselves or know people in bands. So, I mean, that's just a good way, especially in the early days when we started doing it, just a good way to get that out there. But yeah, I don't know what exactly happened if Norm had gotten the guitar back. And then it went missing after maybe selling it to somebody or what have you. Don't know the details. Or somebody just did the old five-finger discount along the movie set. Maybe somebody, there's a lot of people that work on movies, especially your bigger budget movies, like Back to the Future. I do believe that was filmed on a set on a movie lot. At least the Enchantment Under the Sea dance. I'm not sure exactly where it was filmed. I'm a little hungover today. Oh, fucking wine. Anyway. It's been 40 years now. Almost 40 years since the release of the movie. I mean, pretty much. And what was filmed, what, like a year prior to being released? I'm not sure. So I mean, we're talking like 40-year time span. I don't know if it's been lost that entire time. But there's just so much that happens just in one person's life, you know, in 40 years. You got to think, if somebody had stolen the guitar, that they could have either, you know, sold it off, maybe kind of black, you know, kind of secretly kind of sold this thing off, knowing it was a hot guitar, literally. And that they may not have told the individual that they sold it to or whatever the history of it, especially since it was stolen. So I think I'm not saying it was stolen. Yeah, brain's still not working very well. Don't know if it was stolen, just got lost somehow, or what. If somebody did steal it, I think the possibility that is very high that if someone has it in their possession, is just completely unaware of the backstory to the guitar. They don't know what they have. Even if it's not a stolen situation, there's just a good chance whoever has it now. I mean, after 40 years, you got to figure if somebody stole it and held on to it, or, you know, sold it some matter, that like if they passed on, it could be possible that, or very possible, what happens a lot with guitars, vintage guitars like this, it gets passed on to a family relative or two. I mean, 40 years, this could have changed hands a few times. And that who owns it now doesn't know anything about guitars, you know, is not a musician themselves, but are holding on to it because their relative was, father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, whoever it may be, brother, sister, that they are holding on to it because, you know, such sentimental value to the individual that is passed on. And see it all the time following Reddit, the Gibson posts, that there's constantly people asking to find out information on a guitar that was left for them via a relative that had passed on and passed away, if you will. So there is that possibility that whoever has it, you know, got it from a dead relative. And just doesn't know anything about guitars. I think having this documentary, or not documentary, but they're making this documentary, it's not out there yet, and having the promo video, and just getting the news out there. I mean, that would be the way to get somebody like, oh, yeah, you know what? Old grandfather had that red guitar that, I've got in my closet. When he passed, I got that. And what are the odds? Could that be Marty McFly's guitar? But then again, like, if they, even not knowing guitars, Who the fuck hasn't seen Back to the Future? I don't know. It's hard to imagine not knowing any of the details of where it could possibly be. Like, what is the story of where it is now? But, like, thinking that, you know, people have seen Back to the... So many people have seen Back to the Future, and it's such an iconic scene in the movie. I mean, it's... You know, the very end of the movie, and just very iconic scene. And it's hard to imagine that you wouldn't see that scene and be like, man, that looks just like Marty McFly's guitar. Though, who would really think, even if you had one of those, be like, oh, the grandfather didn't have Marty McFly's guitar. But there is possible, you know, it could have been sold on the black market. And knowing it was stolen and whatnot. And maybe there's some absurd story to it that it ended up in some Middle Eastern oil baron has it. Some leader like Muhammad bin Salman, Mr. Bonesaw. I mean, he could have the Saudi king or whatever. Or, you know, Kim Jong-un. I don't know if either of these people are into guitars, I should know. But, you know, like, Kim Jong-un is, I know, into a lot of American pop culture stuff. And he was really, or is, I guess, really big into the NBA, the basketball. And I mean, he's hung out with Dennis Rodman many times. And, but hey, he also, you know, killed his grandfather with starving dogs. You know, he's a fucked up dictator, awful human being anyway. But it is possible, you know, maybe he really loved Back to the Future. Again, I don't even know if he, you know, watched Back to the Future. But this is a complete, they're out there scenario. But this is the kind of shit I was thinking about at work. Like, again, not knowing, having a clue of where this thing could be. I mean, this is, it's theoretically possible. It seems highly unlikely, but perhaps, you know, there's some scenario or, you know, or just, I mean, somebody with the means and a lot of money and dastardly people, it doesn't have to be dastardly people, I guess, to buy a guitar off of the black market. But, you know, you never know. Vladimir Putin. Again, as far as I know, is not a musician. I've seen him sing, and it's terrible. It's very terrible. Which I'm glad he sings terrible, because he shouldn't be able to sing good. He's just a monster of a person, just a horrible dictator that's responsible for, at this point, I guess, millions of deaths. Anyway. So, you know, I mean, that was the kind of scenarios I was working out in my head. Or, you know, I was thinking, you know, possibly it just accidentally ended up somewhere. Because after they had broke down the set, you know, I don't know how quickly they went on to film, you know, Enchantment on the Sea to filming some other movie. And that maybe they just were loading up everything from that set and just kind of transferring it somewhere else while, and then some, it got lost in translation somewhere. But there's so many things that could have happened. I mean, if it had been sold to someone else via Norms, after the movie, and then just, you know, that person passed on or whatever. I mean, there's, the guitar could be completely lost to the future. If it was in a house, say, and there was, you know, a house fire. I mean, this is California, theoretically. I mean, there's no way to know where it could be now. It may, you know, I feel like there's a good chance it's still in California. But if it stayed in California, I mean, look, there's natural disasters that have happened in those 40 years. There could be fires. Damage via earthquake, and the guitars just went to, you know, a junkyard, basically the trash heap, trash pile, as the thing was burnt or just completely disrepair. I mean, there's just so many things that could possibly, you know, hopefully the guitar is intact somewhere and just like in a in a case underneath a bed or in a closet. I think that's best case scenario. That being said, I mean, it could have been damaged even not in a natural disaster. It's, you know, common for headstocks to get busted off Gibsons by just like falling off a guitar stand or to have you. Or if, you know, somebody was actually gigging with his guitar, you know, just dropped it on stage, broke the headstock. And that could have led to getting like maybe a different neck put on it, and then we wouldn't have the serial numbers. Which, well, no, I guess on a 345, they also have the serial numbers in the F-hole inside there in the orange thing. I believe that's the way on all of them. I'm not sure. Anyway, you know, I mean, it could have been massively repaired at some point, or somebody, which it's hard to imagine this. Those are highly sought after guitars. If whoever had it knew anything about guitars would know that like this guitar was worth some money, even if it, if they didn't have the knowledge of it being the Back to the Future guitar. Those are highly sought after guitars. I highly doubt this, but you know, it's possible they could have just parted the thing out, sold it as a husk, and it could be greatly there may be very few ways to identify it anymore. But yeah, that, oh man, that seems, that would be a crime into itself to just strip that thing down and sell it for parts, basically. I mean, that's Marty McFly's guitar. But it's possible. It's, oh man, it's just, there's just so many things that could have happened to this thing. But yeah, that's, I guess, about all the news I have really on that, or theory. I don't want to put out too many. Again, I feel like maybe I should have mentioned the Kim Jong-un thing or whatever, because, yeah, I mean, that's completely nonsense. Well, I had other conspiracy theories. I should probably not talk about them, because I was thinking about all the people on a movie set that could, if it had been a stolen issue, that perhaps could have happened. Then it did occur to me, you know, I was like, if they, like, I doubt anybody that was a cast member stole the guitar. But then I was like, wait a minute, you know, Eric Stoltz would have motive. Because, of course, famously, Eric Stoltz was Marty McFly originally, and they filmed, I don't know if they did the Enchantment on the Sea dance. I don't know what all scenes they filmed with Eric Stoltz, but they would, their original choice was Michael J. Fox, which he is Marty McFly, man. I don't know if you can find the footage of Eric Stoltz as Marty McFly out there. But he got kicked off because he was just too, he wanted to do it too serious, play it too serious. And there was just not this like lovableness, I guess, to having Eric Stoltz, which, you know, he went on to have a decent career. He was no Michael J. Fox level big, but he had some decent movies out there. Makes me curious, though, if like had he continued, finished rather, filming Back to the Future, would Michael J. Fox have then end up in Pulp Fiction as a drug dealer? That would be great. To have him in Tarantino. Anyway, probably not. I don't think that would have been... Michael J. Fox, I think, would have still probably done some bigger stuff. Maybe he wouldn't have been at... I mean, Back to the Future just sent him into the stratosphere. But I mean, he was, he had, you know, at the time Back to the Future came out, he had a big TV show, Family Ties. You know, it's possible he could have done, I don't know what other big movie that would have screened Michael J. Fox that would have been shot at the same time. Anyway, my thought was that maybe Eric Stoltz did like a Island of Dr. Moreau thing. Like, if you know the history of the filming of the Island of Dr. Moreau, the original director was fired from the film and then went back, snuck back on to set as an extra. I thought, well, maybe Eric Stoltz did something similar. And they're just like, you know what? I'm taking this guitar. This guitar is mine. I am Marty McFly, and this is my guitar. I don't think so. I just want to point that out. I don't want to put Eric Stoltz under the bus, you know. I mean, I don't know the guy personally. But I doubt that's a real possibility. And that was just, you know, and also, you know, Crispin Glover, I should probably stop feeling these, but Crispin Glover was famously not brought back to do the sequel because I guess Robert Zemeckis did not like working with Crispin Glover. Crispin Glover was a real pain in the ass. I don't know that Crispin Glover, I don't think would have the motivation during the first film to go ahead and steal that guitar. But famously, in the second one, you have Marty McFly's parents. In the future, in 2015, and they had prosthetics made because they had made a cast of Crispin Glover's face from the original Back to the Future, and then Part 2, of course, they used that mold that they had made to make these prosthetics to put on another actor, and they made basically a Crispin Glover mask. And I remember as a kid seeing that in the theater and whatnot and just assuming that was Crispin Glover as his father yet again. And turns out, no, it was not. And Crispin Glover would go on to sue and win against the studio for shit canning him basically from the second one and using his likeness. I would like to reiterate, though, probably not a good idea even to just joke about those sort of situations. I'm certain that Crispin Glover and Eric Stoltz, neither one of them, actually had the guitar and stole it. I just want to say that. But you know, when you're MIG welding all day, busting your ass, and your brain goes to weird places, as conspiratorial, I guess. Yeah, I hope they find that guitar. And I hope even if they don't find the guitar that perhaps, you know, they still put out some kind of documentary. Maybe it could be put out there as, you know, the search for it that just it's still missing. And then maybe update it if it does after putting out the documentary, if it appears, you know. And then, as of course, I've got a chat group going on with my Call of Duty friends, where, my friend John, said, "Happy Father's Day, boys." And of course he had to reply back, "Happy Father's Day, boys, minus Josh." Of course, me, because I don't have any children. Great for him to make sure everybody was aware that I do not have children. That was a fucker. Yeah, yeah, thanks for that, John. Thanks for yeah. Yeah, I guess he did that in two of our group chats. Anyway. So yeah. You know. Yeah, I don't have any, unfortunately, I don't have any leads on where that guitar could be. But hey, if somebody listening to this does know anything about the Marty McFly guitar, of course, the thing to do is go to thelostofthefuture.com. They've got a tip line you can call or text. It's 1-855-345-1955, as in the date that Marty goes back in time to play the enchantment under the sea. dance. And, of course, you can call or text, and you can stay updated, which I believe I did that. I signed up for the updates anyway. And you can submit a tip on there. I think that just goes via email. But yeah, you know, if you know where the Gibson ES-345 is, 1959 variant, with, it should be noted, the 345 has split parallelograms, or whatever they call them. There are two separate objects there throughout the headstock, which actually they don't have it quite right here on the picture of it on the website. Actually, they have it wrong. But if you watch the movie, there's a unique thing to that specific guitar. They have the split parallelograms, or whatever you call those, throughout the fretboard as the fretboard markers, with the exception of the 12th fret. On the 12th fret, on that specific one, it is one parallelogram there. That is no split. It is one solid long one, which I don't know that there's any other ES-345s of that era that had that same unique deal. I know Trogly, on Trogly's guitar show, he had talked about it and mentioned that spot on the guitar. That's why I knew about it. Again, I'm not the... that knowledgeable about guitars, but I watch a lot of YouTube shit on guitars. So, yeah. Besides the guitar, I mean, last week, I had been informed last Saturday after the podcast, it was like Saturday night, that my sister was going to be flying into St. Louis on Sunday, the next day. She is a flight attendant. She's flying all over the place. And my sister Christy had flown into St. Louis and was staying in a hotel in Clayton, and she didn't have access to a vehicle or anything, so I drove my mother out to go visit her. And we didn't know what to do. We went and hung around the Galleria, got a little bit of food there, and then went and saw the DePere Theater. The movie Friendship, which I had seen the trailer for, I thought it would be pretty decent. I mean, it's rated pretty highly on IMDb. I mean, it's the Tim Robinson, Paul Rudd movie, which, I guess I'm not that up to date on the Tim Robinson, but he's just kind of into some weird shit. And, this movie's definitely weird. I was expecting something a little bit more, a little more like, I thought Paul Rudd was going to be the bad guy in it, and that he was just kind of a dick or something, you know, kind of fucking with Tim Robinson's character. What ended up being, it was like, Tim Robinson is the main character of the movie, and, he's not likable. He can't make friends. He sucks at making friends. And like Paul Rudd, of course, is his neighbor that is a weatherman and that hangs out with him one night. And Tim Robinson like sort of like falls in love with him, just thinking how cool Paul Rudd is. I mean, it's Paul Rudd. Of course, he's fucking cool. It's fucking Paul Rudd. But he fucks the whole thing up by just being his weird, fucked up, crazy self. And it's definitely a dark movie. But there's one part that I want to go ahead and spoil, which is fucking hilarious, which I guess is worth watching the movie. But like, it's a very character driven movie and not really high on plot. Throughout the movie, Tim Robinson his character keeps losing. I guess his character's name's Craig, but throughout the movie, Craig is keeps losing his phone. Drops it in water several times, ruined it, has to get a new phone. And so the first time he goes to the phone store, he's talking to the guy and at the phone store, and the phone store guy is being friendly, of course. You know, it's what you do when you're working a store. And Craig has a issue making friends. This is after just alienating Paul Rudd. And Paul Rudd basically just hating him at this point. And he's already, yeah, so he's, you know, Craig's getting lonely. He wants to be friends with Paul Rudd desperately. And I guess he just needs a friend, period. And at the phone store, he's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to have some beers over this place next door. What time do you get off? You should come have some beers with me. And the guy goes, dude, I'm 18. I can't do that. But if you need something harder than beer, you let me know. And then, of course, later on in the film, this is one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a movie in a long time. Like, later in the movie, of course, he loses his phone again, has to go get a new one at the phone store, and he tells the phone store attendant, and he's like, I'm going to need something stronger than beer. And he's like, all right, well, you know, I got pot, I got ecstasy, I got coke. And then finally he goes through, after going through the list of shit he has, it's like, I got a poisonous toad you can lick for like $100. And so he's like, all right, let's lick this toad, I guess. And, the phone store guy like puts Craig in this like back storage room and has him lay down and brings out this toad. And Craig then goes on to lick the toad, and the phone guy is like, whoa, man, that was a big lick. Craig starts freaking out, like, what do you mean? Am I gonna be okay? Am I all right? Was it too big of a lick? He's like panicking, which is probably not the right mindset you want to go into while hallucinating, but mindset of being panicked. But then the phone attendant ends up leaving the room, and the hallucination starts. And he goes into a Subway restaurant where, again, Paul Rudd works as a weatherman. And is his neighbor. But then in this hallucination, Paul Rudd is a lot older. He's got gray hair and everything. And he's working at Subway. And he just makes him a sandwich. Makes Craig a sandwich. And that's his hallucination. The phone salesman or whatever comes walking back into the room. He's like, all right, man. Well, like, were you gone for years? Did you have like a life-changing event? And Craig's like, no, I fucking went to a Subway. He's like, the eatery? He's like, yeah, I ordered a sandwich. I was gone for like 5 minutes. That toad fucking ripped me off. Oh, it's just beautiful. As I, you know, if you like weird movies and stuff, I mean, I haven't really watched a whole lot of Tim Robinson stuff outside of this, so I, you know, guess I didn't know exactly what I was in for. But I believe a lot of this humor is this weird awkwardness shit. I mean, it's worth a watch just for that scene. I don't think I'd rather, you know, I didn't need to go pay to see it in the movie theater. But at a home watch, yeah, it's weird. But I'd say it's worth a watch at home. It's very strange. I didn't realize until after I bought the tickets that the new Wes Anderson movie was out and that we could have just went and saw that. I was like sad and like, son of a bitch. I would have loved to have seen Wes Anderson movie instead. Anyway, yeah, that was definitely something I remember. That scene with the toad. That is so. I guess for years to come, when I talk to my sister, I'll be able to be like, that fucking toad ripped me off, and you know, we'll know what that means. That fucking toad ripped me off. Maybe we would, even if the Wes Anderson movie was more enjoyable, I don't know that we'd have a scene like that to really go back and talk about. We really thought that, you know, the hallucinations, because like Craig Robinson's character, or not Craig, sorry, Tim Robinson's character, goes batshit crazy at the end. And I was waiting to find out that, you know, that's part of the hallucination. No, he really just went to a Subway and had a sandwich. That was all the hallucination. Anyway, yeah, so that's what, of course, I did last weekend. I was looking for stuff to do, and I did mention, I guess, at the beginning of the show, you know, yesterday was a busy day. I ran 13.1 miles for the first time in probably a couple of years, and that was a little rough. And drank wine at Augusta Winery. I intended to just like drink part of, you know, a bottle. And man, I can never go like do like a wine run or something, or just hang out in a winery and just like drink a reasonable amount. I had too much. And I had to pay the price. Like I'd shared a little bit of my bottle of wine, and then my friend Rich had bought another bottle. He had already gone through his bottle of wine, and he bought another bottle of wine, and he wanted to have a cigar with it. Like, I can't leave a man behind, because everybody else is, like, taking off. And I can't leave a man behind. And so I stayed and helped him with that, the last bottle of wine. And they had some music out there. It's surprisingly, there was a guy on guitar and singing. That part wasn't surprising, but accompanying him was a guy playing the saxophone. That is something I'm not used to with seeing live music, is having somebody out there with a saxophone, especially out at like a winery. You know, maybe I'd expect that at some club or something, but not out at a winery. That was surprising. They did play the tequila song. I remember that. I didn't have any tequila, but there was some other songs that they played that I knew real well that are just not coming back to my memory. But you know, I ran quite a bit and then had a fair amount of wine afterwards, and so I was a little beat. Well, after the run though, we were supposed to go bowling with my buddies from work, or they'd been messaging while at the winery and like, hey, let's go bowling. But nobody had actually contacted the bowling alley to see if there was lanes open. And unfortunately, when we got there, we went there at 7, and they didn't have any lanes open till 10 when Cosmic Bowling starts. And we did not want to wait there for 3 hours to bowl. And so we ended up just coming back into Washington, eating some food over at Ernesto's, and came back here to play some Mario Kart and Mortal Kombat on the old projector. Because, you know, I got the old home theater downstairs, which unfortunately that was another thing that got shit canned this weekend. I was going to hopefully do the drywall downstairs in the hallway so I could finish the fucking downstairs. Didn't happen. I did watch Friday the 13th, though. That was one thing I did do on Friday. I didn't get much done on Friday either, as I was really fucking tired. But I saw the part 3 of the Friday the 13th, which is, of course, the one where Jason gets his hockey mask. pretty epic. And of course, the movie's originally in 3D. I tried to watch the film in 3D, because it's the old school glasses. I can't use my new 3D glasses for that, but I had the old school glasses up there. And it doesn't quite work right on the projector. So I was like, all right, we'll just watch the standard video on this one. So I really wanted 3D. I guess I'll have to watch it upstairs here. And because I'm pretty sure that TV, I've watched it before, the old school 3D glasses. It worked fine. I did make sure to watch the original Nightmare on Elm Street days before that, too, because I wanted that to be my first horror movie up on the projector. So had Robert Englund in all of his glory in 150 inches on the wall, doing the whole bit with the licking Nancy through the phone.
I'm your boyfriend now, Nancy.
Classic fucking scene. And I do have realized this week that I might just have to cut myself off Etsy. I might have to delete it from my phone. And just kind of ban myself from it because it's dangerous. I mean, I've gotten quite a bit of stuff already off Etsy. I mean, that is, of course, where I got my lava table, my drapes for the downstairs. And they've got just so many things that people just make, you know, like handcrafted shit and or just 3D printed. But, I mean, it's stuff you can get from all over. It's just, a pretty just cool place to find unique stuff. If you're a fan of movies, there are so many different movie items you can get. You can get like a movie poster in a frame where around the outside of the movie poster, you've got pieces of film with different shots throughout the movie, like actual film reel, like with the different shots, like also like framed with the movie poster and stuff, which I think is pretty sweet. And they've got all kinds of different movies, like say the original Nightmare on Elm Street. You can get like a picture of the movie with an actual piece of Nancy's house. So it's just like a piece. It's just a small chunk, but it's like a small chunk of wood from the house in the original Nightmare on Elm Street. It's just, they do that with all kinds of movies. But I mean, there's just so many cool like movie props and stuff you can get via Etsy. And I do have a lot of space above my cabinets in the kitchen there, where it does kind of look kind of bare. And I thought about putting titles of movies up above there. And on Etsy, of course, they've got 3D printed signs of the names of the movies, like in the movie font, like a Nightmare on Elm Street. I just ordered one right now. I mean, they're fairly inexpensive, but, you know, there's no like Amazon Prime deal with Etsy, which I'm so used to having Amazon Prime and not paying for shipping pretty much ever. So the price that you see before checkout is the price you're pretty much going to pay. I mean, you'll pay a little bit more via taxes and what have you. But Etsy's a little different. Etsy's a little different. You know, you're probably going to be buying from, if you're buying multiple things, you're probably going to be buying from multiple sellers. And so they're all shipped differently. And you know what? You're going to get pay shipping on all of those separately. And you end up paying a fair amount at the end of the day. So it's like a bit of a roulette whenever you end up going to checkout and realize, oh, that's going to cost me quite a bit more than I thought. But, you know, they got really great movie posters and that aren't like just like your original movie posters. They've got like different takes on like, say, Nightmare on Elm Street or what have you, Evil Dead. And just a lot of unique shit. A lot of really cool shit. But I'm going to see how that Nightmare on Elm Street sign looks. And then if that looks pretty cool. I mean, it is just 3D printed plastic. But they paint it and what have you. And if it looks decent, like above the kitchen cabinets, I might just line up a bunch of different movie titles above the kitchen cabinets there. We'll see what happens. But there's, I mean, there's, I'm probably going to buy too much shit on Etsy. it is what it is. That's pretty much all I'm thinking there was probably some other things I was going to talk about, but I'm pretty beat. I need to start doing laundry and what have you. Yeah, we'll see what happens with my Etsy purchases. I do need a few. I could use a few more things for some decor on the downstairs. As far as like, I do want to replace the light fixture, you know, the front door downstairs. Wanted to probably be something movie related, but we'll see what happens. And I mean, when you do a project like that, like turn your downstairs into a movie theater, you know, there's so much room for things that you could put in there. It's like a, could be like a never-ending project and just more reason for me to waste all the money that I have. But on the plus side, currently right now, we are starting to work a fuck ton of overtime. I don't really want to do that, but hey, it means more money. So I'll just be tired all the time. Probably won't have much time to do the drywall and what have you. But yeah, we'll hopefully at some point I can squeeze that in. Doing the drywall. And so I can finish painting. Right now I can't paint where the water damage is. on those couple spots by the front door. Damn it. Yeah, there's Oh, you know what? I was going to look up to see if, because Friday the 13th, I wanted to see if they had any news on the new Friday the 13th video game, which I love. Well, I love the original Nintendo Friday the 13th game, but it is hard. That one is hard. Don't. Last I knew, there wasn't any news updates as far as even who was making the game. Of course, the not the original Nintendo one, but of course the one that came out in like, I guess 2017 is when. The latest one was put out by Illphonic, which I fucking love that game. I fucking love that game. And they clearly loved Friday the 13th, the series. You could tell they had fun making that game and that they love the old Friday the 13th movies. Yeah, apparently the news on the new one... this is on comicbook.com. Friday the 13th, the game may be returning after exciting new update. Oh, so are they going to return the old game? There is hope that Friday the 13th, the game, is making a return after a new update. Friday the 13th is one of the most beloved horror franchises out there, and yet it has largely remained dormant for the 15 years or so. Although there is a lot of desire to see Jason slashing campers in the woods once again, there's the rights issue that complicates that has prevented from more movies being made and whatnot. They worded this really fucked up. I had to reword it. It's an unfortunate situation, but it seems like everyone involved with the franchise wants to keep things going and is trying to figure out the best course of action. Yada yada. One of the ways the series has stayed alive over the years has been due to a beloved video game known very simply as Friday the 13th, The Game. The video game placed players in either the shoes of campers trying to escape from the campgrounds or as Jason trying to strike down the teens. It was a ton of fun, but unfortunately, due to rights issues, the game was delisted a couple of years ago. Servers remained active for quite a while after that, but eventually the servers for Friday the 13th, the video game, were shut down as well. It was a huge bummer for those who love the game, and many have hoped that it could return someday, and it looks like that may be possible. Friday the 13th game being here you can return, as spotted by YouTuber Fancy. A recent press release about the future of the Friday the 13th franchise, it was revealed that Friday the 13th, the game, is part of the plan to give fans new ways to connect with Jason Voorhees and the larger Friday the 13th IP. Given the game is quite literally unplayable and can't even be purchased, that would suggest that Striker Entertainment and the other rights holders have plans for the game going forward. Striker Entertainment has signed an exclusive partnership with Horror Incorporated and Friday the 13th LLC, reads the press release. Under the agreement, Striker, in conjunction with Horror's CMO, Sherry Kahn, will oversee global consumer products for Jason Universe, the definitive umbrella brand for the iconic horror franchise. This initiative also includes Friday the 13th, the game, and Crystal Lake, giving fans new ways to connect with the legacy of Jason Voorhees through a broad range of merchandise worldwide. New Friday the 13th games are also in the works, but the press release directly mentions the actual asymmetrical horror game that fans loved. We have no idea when this could happen or what it would even look like, but hopefully we'll find out sometime later this year. The next Friday the 13th is in June. Oh, this article is from a few weeks ago. That was Friday. So maybe there will be some news then. Would appear not. Some fans have speculated that Gun Interactive, the publisher behind the game, has stopped support on Texas Chainsaw Massacre in order to shift its focus on Friday the 13th, the game. Which the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was cool, but I never did as deep of a dive on it as the Friday the 13th, man. I way more love Friday the 13th on there. Of course, I'm just a bigger fan of the movies than Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Anyway, we'll just have to wait and see what happens, but hopefully it's what fans want and isn't something that tries to capture the magic in a new way. But oh yeah, man. Fuck, that is some good news. I really do enjoy that game. I would love to see that come back and be able to finally get Jason X on there. Maybe, I mean, it's doubtful because only the people that I was thinking maybe you could even get the Savini Jason, which was strictly the game had started out on Kickstarter, and that's how they got the game the cash to fund the making of the game initially was via fundraising via Kickstarter. And, you know, maybe you could, one of the prizes for donating to the Kickstarter was getting the Savini Jason, which they had said that would be the only way you would ever have gotten that. But if you, you know, it sucks that, you know, I never got to play Savini Jason. Had I really been aware of it, the Kickstarter campaign, maybe I would have donated so I could have gotten me some Savini Jason. But yeah, I wasn't really that aware of the game until it pretty much was out. And so I did not contribute to the Kickstarter campaign. And what a shame. I never got to play as Savini Jason. I always rocked Part 4 Jason. That was my go-to. That's really all I've got. So, yeah, as always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.